going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's a pretty hectic few days. Got Tony in place and traveled up here with the team, and I just needed a couple days. As pertains to the decision, in pro sports and team sports, there come times where the go-forward look at things involve different voice and a head coaching change to receive that voice. And, you know, ultimately, I'm stretching back into early last summer. This is a team that we feel has been collectively and individually to varying degrees underperforming its talent level. And we want something new in order to hopefully restore them to the level of play that we expect of ourselves.
So that was Mike Elias around 5:30 yesterday, talking about a lot of stuff, including his process and just why it took him so long to talk, et cetera, et cetera. We'll have more from Mike in a minute. The Orioles went out afterwards and lost for the 8th straight time, 9 out of 10. They're currently playing scoreless in the 4th inning. But what did you get out of what the general manager had to say yesterday?
Well, I mean, maybe this is just the hopeful part of me speaking, but it seemed fair to me to infer that this change, really, the impetus was top down. And he kept talking about this intensity and sort of the frequency of his discussions with ownership. And, you know, we'll get into all the clips in the next segment of the most pertinent ones. But, you know, he talked about sort of, he was asked about job security and he referred to his personal situation and trying to do what's best for the team, regardless of that. Again, the reporter in me says that's him. That's a little tell from him that he has been put on the clock and that he's being evaluated in a much more urgent day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month way than he ever has been previously during his very long tenure here under two different owners. So I think you could read it that way. I hope I'm reading it correctly. I still think he's the last person in the world who I would trust to dig out of his own mess. I mean, he poisoned this thing systematically over 3 years, and now you're telling me in less than 3 months he's going to fix it or be the guy to at least try to stop the bleeding and reverse course? I think he is dogmatic. I think he is a zealot who has convinced himself that he is the smartest man in baseball and he has the best front office team in baseball. And if you just give him enough time, might be 25 years, they'll eventually be right. And I don't think he changes that all of a sudden because a billionaire has told him, I think your skipper's got to go.
Yeah, I want to focus on the first quote that we came in with, and that was his reasoning why he waited 3 days. And the quote again, it's a pretty hectic few days. Got Tony in place, traveled up here with the team, and just needed a couple of days. It was as hectic as anything for Tony Mansellino. And with all due respect to Tony, he's not exactly the most comfortable in a press conference setting. We saw that. We saw that the day of that it happened. We saw open clubhouse where you have Jackson Holliday, one of the youngest guys in the major leagues, addressing a decision that he didn't know until Mike Elias told him, along with the rest of the club. That rubbed me the wrong way.
It was cowardly, quite frankly. I hate to go over the top here, and I'm not going over that. That was cowardly. You hung out Tony Manziello to dry. The players were, like, devastated. They spoke immediately, and he couldn't talk for 3 days?
Cedric Mullins was as emotional as anybody because he obviously was with Hyde from the beginning in 2019 and going all the way down and coming all the way back up and having the 30-30 season. For Mike Elias to not address the media right away, that day, Saturday, rubs me the wrong way. And doing it on a road trip on top of all
limited media.
How long have I been talking about a sense of entitlement, a warped culture, and a lack of basic common emotional intelligence with this front office? How long have I been talking about no bedside manner? How often have I been talking about there's a human element to doing this job that they are incapable? They are cyborgs. They are incapable of even coming close to well below what's expected, let alone meeting the bar, let alone exceeding it. When Manziello says Mike had a really brief meeting with us and to tell us and then left, I think it was like really brief, like 90 seconds.
He was asked about that. He said he didn't say much.
How about you're going to tell me not only did he not have time to explain it to the public, their sponsors, their season ticket holders, their Birdland members. Not only did he not owe you an explanation or take any questions about it so that you could be better informed about the course of the organization for 4 whole days. Not only that, but he didn't think, as an alleged leader, as an alleged general manager, that he should spend 15 minutes alone with Jackson Holliday talking to him about it before they met the media. Yeah. Spending maybe a half hour with Adley before, right? How about, where is that? Wait a minute. You didn't have time to come out and answer questions about it. You also didn't have time to coach up your manager, coach up his coaches, explain it in detail to your players. You didn't have time to sell it to them. You know why? Because they're geniuses and we're pissant peasants and they're all knowing and we're just jerk offs. We're just schmucks. They don't even owe you a modicum of respect as a human being who pays money for their tickets to come out and handle this organizationally like a major league franchise. It's astonishing how little they think of you. Just look at it through this portal. How little they think of their players. You go out there and sell this for me. I'm not even going to have a one-to-one with you and a real heartfelt thing about our future together and how I let you down and what's on Hyder and what's not on Hyder. You just go do that for me to the media.
Yeah,
it was pathetic.
It was a PR failure.
It's beyond PR. Yeah, it's a human being failure.
Yeah, to throw those kids out to dry, hang them out to dry, and have them answer questions while he told everyone it was a hectic few days for him. Like, you're the face.
And this isn't a guy talking about Hyde that was here for a year. Both of you guys, this was both of their big breaks professionally. Elias, first GM job. Brandon Hyde, first major league manager job. You guys started this together, went through all of that, and you don't even have the decency to talk about it the day of that you fire him?
He turned himself, personally, individually, Mike Elias turned Brandon Hyde's job security into a 10-day news cycle.
Yes.
He did that. And he couldn't find the time to talk to his players like human beings, the same players he doesn't know when to call up, doesn't know how to send down, doesn't know how to communicate anything. The same players I told you all along, he's clueless. He's clueless in handling young players. The thing he's lauded for, he's the most clueless at. He doesn't know how to sit there and have a heart-to-heart, man-to-man conversation with people up and down that organization. Yet he had time for every two-bit podcaster he could find, who he thought would ask him softball questions and allow him to sell the vision of Mike Elias with no pushback. Yet when he actually takes action, you saw the kind of person he is.
Jason, I want to ask you before we get moving on previewing the show, et cetera. Your reporter instincts, he mentioned a lot of ownership input during this press conference. Were you buying what he was selling as far as how involved they are?
I'm hopeful. There absolutely should be. I mean, like, yeah, is that a far departure from what we heard from Davos, Switzerland, and what we heard after the first victory of the season? It is. But somebody over there has to be smart enough to see, you know, the forest through the trees. And whether it's the big man himself or one of his lieutenants, it seemed like they put Mike Elias on notice. We can only hope that they put Mike Elias on notice. The problem is, again, Each day that goes by, each innings that's played, you're closer and closer to the trade deadline, which is your last chance to affect the kind of change they need to change, because you need to get these other teams while they're in the heat of a playoff race, not while they have a 3 and 4 month offseason to think about everything. And again, he should have been fired with Hyde. Anybody who's paid attention to this team knows that. And I'm still hopeful that he will be fired sometime in the next couple of weeks, enough time for somebody else to start massaging this thing and correcting this thing. Because if you think he all of a sudden has seen the light now, then you haven't paid attention to the last 7 years of Orioles baseball and Orioles franchise building and Orioles rhetoric.
Orioles in progress against the Brewers right now. They are up 1-0 in the fourth inning. We'll keep track of that for you as we go. Guest-wise on the program, Gabe Lax covers Major League Baseball for USA Today. Wrote an interesting piece about the Orioles the other day. He joins us at 2:30. A chat with our Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman, MD. He was the star of the Preakness over the weekend. He'll get his thoughts on the firing at 3 o'clock. Best Bets with Tim Murray from Beeson at 3:30. And Ryan Ripken, who you just heard with Bob, joins us at 5.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll hear from Mike Green's college coach. We'll talk about the Ravens' pass rush and where we think that's going. We'll put a capper on this series and this game when we get there. I just think it is quite rich for Mike Elias to have doubled down on his hitting and pitching people. And we're sitting through this series, and coming into today, they'd played 4 games since they fired Brandon Hyde, and they had struck out 40 times and walked 8 in those games. And you're telling me that in real time, he's telling you, well, we're working on these things and we're correcting. It's arguably the worst 4-game stretch of swing and miss they've had all year. And this happens on the heels of firing the guy who was allegedly holding them back.
By the way, and it continues, they had first and third, nobody out. O'Hearn got a base hit to put them up 1-0. So they had first and third again. 2 strikeouts in a row and a flyout. They only get 1 run. So that's who the Orioles are right now. Coming up next.
And one of the guys who was hitting with people on base went on the IL. And the other, Cedric Mullins, so they refused to hit in the top of their lineups.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that struck out, by the way. Necessary Roughness coming up next. Mike Elias, more from him. Are we buying what he's selling? That's next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Here on the Fan.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I execute as the general manager, but when you're making a decision as grave as changing the manager or the head coach, that's something that you consult with ownership on very heavily, and I did.
That's Mike Elias yesterday speaking to the media in the dugout in Milwaukee, and says that ownership was very much involved in the decision to dismiss Brandon Hyde. And Jason, we're hopeful that the ownership is very much involved, period, because since, I guess, last season, we haven't heard much from ownership except for Switzerland.
Well, look, I can remember sending tweets late July last year saying, I hope the owner knows what he's watching, and I hope he puts his hands on Mike Elias and steers him to spend money and have a sense of urgency. Because if he doesn't, this is only going to get worse and worse. And people are coming out of their woodwork, including our buddy Dan Connolly, saying that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life and he needs to be hands off. Well, who was right about that one? Because these guys are zealots. They are dogmatic. They do believe they've always got the answers. And until someone who has the authority to say, go away, you're fired, tells them you're not the genius you think you are, then we're going to continue to see them fall through trapdoor after trapdoor after trapdoor of their own making. I hope he's telling the truth. There's also a part of me that's like, well, this guy's got to sell something because he just did a 10-day media tour telling everybody nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Right? So what changed, Mike? Well, ownership changed. Like, right? What changed? Huh. They were you were a crap team then. You're a crap team now. You're actually worse since you fired the skipper, since you waited 4 days to talk about that. What changed, Mike? Well, I had many consultations with ownership.
Well, I'm still... I'm still willing to buy that this wasn't all Michael Elias firing Brandon Hyde. I think ownership definitely did step up to some degree.
Well, Mike made it clear Brandon Hyde wasn't the problem. So
sure,
I hope so.
That's what I'm saying. But ultimately, something needed to be done. And we have been saying this whole time, it's not all on Brandon Hyde. The roster is what it is. But by doing nothing, this team has been in a complete tailspin going back to June 21st of last year. We're almost 12 full months at this point. We're beyond 11 months at this point. To not do anything is silently saying that this is acceptable.
So more from Mike Elias, and he was asked why the manager and maybe not one of the coaches.
You know, the decision to change a manager is a serious one, and once you arrive at that conclusion, it's best to do it for all parties' sakes as soon as possible. As I said, that's this position where you require full-throated support and confidence from above, and to persist without that state, it's not good. But we are in the process. I mean, I think just stepping back a little bit, like, this has been really tough. I mean, you go back to last June, we were on top of the sport in almost every facet of the sport, including majors and minors. And now we find ourselves where we find ourselves.
I do want to go back to that part of it, Jason, where he talks about all the success they've had. They didn't have any success. They made the playoffs twice, did not win a playoff game. The last GM won playoff series.
Like, well, and I know we have that cut where he's asked about his job security, and it goes on saying how successful he's been. And Ken, I'm with you 100%. What, you haven't won a playoff game. What success? You won 100 games, but that was all for naught. You turned this around for 2 seconds, and now it's right back in
Gunnar
the tank.
Henderson had a historic rookie season for them. Adley Rutschman was on a path All-star. Towards looking like a very good player, but by no means a great player. I mean, we all sat here and said in real time, even when he was getting accolades, like, boy, I don't know about the power. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know about the power.
But I thought he was going to be really
right.
good.
And the on base isn't 370. Yeah. It's not what they build it. But like, could he be a good player to very good? Yeah. But like, I'm just looking for what he's talking. Like, win a bunch of regular season games.
That's what
if
he's talking
If you frame
about.
It right. Like, what, really?
Yeah,
even individually, like Bradish, yeah, that looked like a great thing. Then his body showed you he needed surgery, and you ran him out there for 10 starts while he was hurt, and now he's missing 2 seasons instead of one.
More from Mike Elias. Hey, Mike, what's up with the drop in hitting in offense?
That's been a question that a lot of us have been asking to each other a lot for several months now. And if we had fixed it already, we would have fixed it already. So it's very important to this organization that it's priority number one that, you know, our guys, our players play the way that they're capable of individually, but play the way that they're capable of together in the way that we saw in 2022, 2023, and the early part of 2024. And that is our main focus in addition to just kind of stabilizing the day-to-day play here on the field, which we're still trying to do.
Well, one thing's for certain, the rearranging of the deck chairs on the Titanic that they did this offseason with the hitting coach sure as hell didn't fix anything.
No, no one's being held to account there. Even their best, their biggest success, player development success story, Gunnar Henderson, had a second half that looked nothing like the first half. And we were saying in real time, bro, they need real hitters. They need less platoons. They need another real hitter. They need to keep Santander and get another middle of the order, everyday fielder and hitter. And then maybe these other kids around that, not as the absolute main and only thing, but these other kids around that might still keep making incremental or in some cases exponential gains. And he did the exact opposite.
Well, the Wizards and Warlocks, they thought the young guys would all take the next step, Jason.
They, how could they not see that their clubhouse was a kindergarten romper room?
A computer
we
can't
quantify that. We were saying it a year
that.
Ago, and they may not. They got younger.
No, they tripled down on it.
Yeah, they got younger in the
hey,
coaching
Santander,
staff.
Hey, Santander, you're
and
good
the
for
players.
150 games a year. We don't need you. We're going to get Paul Bunyan and give him $17 million to maybe play 50 if we're lucky. And you won't be lucky because those 50 will suck.
And the coaching staff got younger, too. Yeah. Let's get rid of Freddie Gonzalez that get younger.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, we got a trainer who's seen everything and done everything for 40 years. Let's kick him out, not explain it, and bring in a bunch of people and then watch and then complain about and then have the balls to complain about guys not coming back on time and all our bad injury luck.
We'll continue talking about the Orioles next. By the way, Ryan Ripken joins us later in the show. Jerry Coleman joins us at 3 o'clock. But next, Gabe Lax covers MLB for USA Today. Wrote a great piece about the organization failing Brandon Hyde for USA Today. He joins us next here on the...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Fan. Orioles trying to end an 8-game losing streak. They do lead the Brewers 1-0 in the top of the fifth. Let's talk some Orioles baseball as Gabe Lax covers Major League Baseball for USA Today. Wrote a great piece a few days ago titled Brandon Hyde Survived Orioles Epic Tanking. Then the franchise failed him, and he joins us now courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Gabe, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start with the firing. Just your thoughts on the dismissal of Brandon Hyde.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's so rare for a guy to survive, the darkness of that rebuild, right? It was pretty dark for a while, and he's, you know, Brandon, not a name guy, you know, he's not a Terry Francona. I think he really showed a lot by getting through that and seeing it through to when things got much brighter, and they win 101 games, and he's AL Manager of the Year. One thing I find interesting is, you know, the concept of when does a manager kind of acquire immunity? knowing that franchises have ups and downs. And, you know, like you look at Davey Martinez down in Washington, he wins a World Series that obviously buys him a few years. You know, Dave Roberts in L.A., Aaron Boone has been on the hot seat a few times but has survived. He's even gotten a year deeper than Hyde. So it's interesting that like this was seen as such a different voice, as Mike Elias has put it, that was so necessary. So I find it kind of interesting that, like, okay, why was this the end of the road for him when things that absolutely everything that could go wrong pretty much went wrong from the winter to the injuries to the underperformance this year. And I certainly understand that can be the life cycle of a manager, but it is an interesting thing to ponder. You know, when is the time to pull the cord? And it might have seemed abundantly obvious at the time, but looking back now, it's like, wow, okay, this you kind of didn't think that it would happen so quickly, but here we are.
Gabe, what about the lead up to all of this? Because Mike Elias 2 weeks ago was going on several podcasts and shows talking about Brandon Hyde's job security, and then he fires Hyde on Saturday and waits until yesterday on a road trip to address the media 3 days after he fired Hyde. What did you think of that?
Well, yeah, in terms of the comments ahead of time, there's really not much more you can say up until the point when you are ready to let a guy go, just because even if you give a little hint of, we'll see, you know, then suddenly the vultures are going to circle, you know, and kind of rightfully so. So I never really blame a guy for the proverbial vote of confidence or for saying things are good. You know, in those 2 weeks, like, things really did go south. So you can certainly see how things could change, but I don't necessarily blame front office guys or owners for kind of fudging a bit if they, if they give a vote of confidence. But it was not great timing to not kind of face the music immediately. And from my perspective, it was like, okay, you know, Saturday, kind of a hectic day, you know, mid-afternoon game. They don't tell the players until, you know, noon. Okay, fine. I was pretty stunned that he didn't talk on Sunday, just because you know, it got kind of weird with the interim guy, you know, having to kind of say, well, that's probably a question for Mike, you know, and it kind of is. So that's kind of when it gets to be sort of a dereliction of duty, in addition to the notion of, waiting until they're 2 days into a road trip with much less media around. You know, I certainly think, you know, the guys on hand and the women on hand, you know, asked all the right questions and probably would have got roughly the same stuff out of Elias that a larger throng might have back in Baltimore. But not a great look to kind of leave Tony and the players holding the bag and having to answer, you know, when you're going through Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday.
So with all that said, and with Mike Elias's inability to develop players as hitters or pitchers or fielders, and his overarching organizational beliefs and his individual transactions being far most accountable and responsible for the plight that they find themselves in, and him not even be able to fire a guy like a serious major league general manager, then how in good conscience do you think this ownership group can sell him as the guy to not only not mess this up more between now and the deadline, but actually start to fix it?
Yeah, it's I think he still has a good bit of equity in the bank, just with regard to the entire organizational infrastructure, the buildup of their presence in the Dominican, and the last 2 years did count for something. You know, that's he did help build two playoff teams. Now, granted, greatly aided by 2 to 3 to 4 really grim kind of years. So, that's kind of part of it too. But, replacing a GM is such a huge thing. I mean, you're talking about, an entire operation, for a ball club. Additionally, it's, if you haven't been like blown away by the owner and what he's done so far in a year plus, would you trust him necessarily to make the right call on hiring a new GM and building out an entirely new infrastructure? So I think, I think the big thing right now is Mike Elias has to kind of proved that he can, I don't know if it change is the right word, but, you know, it's kind of intriguing that they may have some assets to sell off at the deadline. Not that, you know, any Baltimore fan would want that to be the case, but, you know, he has a chance to stockpile things and maybe get some major league ready players. And let's see how he attacks free agency in the winter. You know, a lot of folks probably want him gone now. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. But at the same time, like, you know, I think he still has a, you know, every GM grows, you know, from Brian Cashman to Andrew Friedman, you know, all the way down. So I think Elias has earned the right to kind of see what can he do after a little bit of this failure here, even if the you know, the current situation is pretty ugly.
Talking with Gabe Lax, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Gabe, obviously the pitching part of it we all thought wasn't going to be good, and it's been worse than we thought because, you know, they pivoted from Corbin Burns to Charlie Morton and Kyle Gibson. But the hitters, we were told that they had this great hitting team. How do you wrap your head around the regression of what seems to be everybody but maybe Jackson Holliday, who got some advice from his dad, not anybody in the organization, and has started to hit?
This is the part that befuddles me the most, and I think, just judging from Elias's comments, maybe the GM himself, like, can't really figure it out. You know, it just seems like the organization hit a wall development-wise. Everything was going great, you know, especially, you know, kind of the last piece of this current core, Jordan Westberg, you know, before his, you know, broken hand last year and then the hamstring this year, you know, all-star caliber guy, Colton Cowser, 24 home run guy. So it's really interesting to look at the inability to kind of finish some of these guys. You know, Kyle Stowers kind of hit a wall in the organization, didn't quite get the runway he maybe needed. And then Heston Kerstad has had a little more runway this year, thanks to injuries to guys like Cowser. And, you know, it hasn't totally happened for him either. So it's, you know, and this is after, you know, turning over the whole hitting apparatus, which, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of technical things going on in there that are kind of beyond my purview with regard to swing choices and all that kind of stuff. But it was only a couple years ago where you heard guys like Stowers talking about how great the connectivity was in the organization, from the message you get at the big league level to Norfolk, all the way down to Aberdeen, what have you. You know, like, everything was going great guns. And then suddenly it just, the floor fell out, and the hitting coaches are gone, and the new guys, you know, haven't seemed to be making the right impact. So, yeah, it's, I wish I had answers for you. I think the GM probably wishes he had some answers too. And maybe that, I feel like that's the biggest thing he's probably investigating as he's kind of looking to see what the culprit is for all this. Another thing too is so much talk about the huge gap between AAA and the big leagues now. And, you know, probably as a result of the minor leagues, kind of, you know, less jobs available, less affiliates, less everything. So, you know, AAA is, you know, it's kind of been a party for hitters, and then they get a real, you know, even a ruder awakening than you imagine at the big league level. I feel like that's hit these guys harder for whatever reason. When you look at Mayo, when you look at Kerstad, and then Stowers when he was an Oriole, all those guys had absolutely nothing to prove back at AAA, and then, you know, kind of hit the wall at the big league level. So that's, yeah, I think that is probably, you know, beyond figuring out, you know, and investing more in pitching, I think figuring out what went wrong with the hitting infrastructure and the inability to get these guys to be polished products is probably, public enemy number one when you look at this downfall the last roughly calendar year.
Gabe Lax covers baseball for USA Today. Gabe, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, we will give you an in-game update. And, man, it's fascinating.
Little League's going to Little League.
Yeah, Orioles, they do stuff that's fun. We'll give you an update on what's going on with the O's. You're going to want to hear this next here on The Fan.
Urban goes. Swing, a slow roller up the first base side. Sugano's got it. Throws it first. Urban coming home. The throw. It's late. Speed kills. Tie game.
Orioles have no speed, but the Brewers have a lot of it. And Caleb Durbin scored from second on a ground out.
Yes.
And the Brewers have tied the game at one. So Durbin doubles. Joey Ortiz tried to bunt him to third. He popped out to the third baseman. That was one out.
Impression.
Yeah. And then they ground out to the pitcher. And lo and behold, Durbin kept running and scored from second base to tie the game at one. So that's where we are at the moment. I also want to go back just because of the just comedy of errors of the Orioles and this the hitting that even Mike Elias's, I can't explain. They had something going in the fourth inning. Gunnar Henderson got a gift. Chirio gave up on a ball that had an 80% catch probability and let it drop, base hit. Then Mountcastle gets a base hit on hit and run. They have first and third, nobody out. O'Hearn gets a base hit to make it 1-0, and Mountcastle goes to third. So they have first and third, nobody out. Mullen strikes out, Rivera strikes out, Kerstad, I think, grounded out, and they don't score another run. So here we are, because that's what they do. They're tied at one here in the sixth.
Every series, we see teams that had lesser expectations, that have less alleged star power, that bust their ass for every run, that seemingly have more grit and more guile and a better understanding about run production than these geniuses at the warehouse could ever pretend to have in a million years. We saw the Reds do it. We saw the Nats do it twice.
Yeah.
We saw the Royals do it twice. We saw the Tigers do it. And some of these Tigers are a good team. Royals are okay. Not a great record, but they're going to probably be in the playoffs.
Something to be said to teams that can manufacture runs.
The Brewers and the Reds and the Guardians and the Nats were not hitting the ball off anybody until they faced the Orioles. And then they found ways to scratch and claw and manufacture runs. And scoring from second base on a ball that didn't even get to the pitcher's mound is yet another example of that. As to the hitting of it all, look, this kid Henderson who started for them last night might turn out to be a real pitcher, but that was a weird situation for him. He's been yo-yoed a little bit. He's only here because of extreme injuries.
It's 3-0.
You would have thought that he had never thrown a ball before in his life, and the Orioles had no scout. Like there was no minor league film. There was no major league film. There was no baseball savant page. You would have thought he was an alien who fell out of the sky, and they knew nothing about it. So utterly inept, these at-bats. The kid got like 20 swing and miss. Yeah.
They made him look like Roger Clemens.
Are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
And then today it's a spot starter, and they can't do a damn thing, scratch out two runs against him.
No.
They are the problem. The enemy is within. They don't make each other better. They make each other worse. And none of the alleged adults over there could see it for what it is. Kindergarten, romper room, change our walk-up song, dress in cosplay, but no fundamental changes.
It's just such a horrible, horrible brand of baseball right now. And something that continues to infuriate me, and you opened with it, Ken, the defense. And last night, and look, Jackson Holliday was a few feet away from hitting a home run to tie that baseball game. But throwing a ball over first baseman's head, and giving up another unearned run there. The defensive mistakes, it can't happen with the regularity at the major league level.
Who has been called up from the minor leagues as a prospect? I'm not talking about when they call Levon Soto up because they have no other shortstops. And you know what? He can field the ball, but he's been in the major leagues with other teams. Who have they promoted from the minor leagues who looked even almost league average? Looked like he was almost replacement level defending the ball, let alone being actually good at it. Just I'll wait.
Westberg maybe?
He couldn't play second base, and he was supposed to be a shortstop.
But he could play third.
But then he still liked, who did they like when it really mattered?
Yeah, I know.
They put Ramon there because he won a gold glove 3 years ago.
But I'm trying to answer the question.
Are we sure he's a major league average third baseman? Are we sure of that?
And Kowser was really good defensively last year, but when he got called up initially, we thought he'd never play the outfield.
It's a joke. I called it out 2 years ago in real time. It is a Ponzi scheme. It is a con job. The thing that they might be worst at is developing play. He's terrible at trade deadline trades. He's terrible at navigating an MLB roster. He has no clue how to build a pitching staff. He can't evaluate pitchers to save his ass. He doesn't know, has no sense of urgency ever about anything. But the one thing he was supposed to have really done, starting with the Cardinals and especially with the Astros,
player development.
Yeah. And no one has don't just listen to me. Jim Bowden said, you're right, Gunner should be a third baseman if we're being serious about this. They drafted all these shortstops. None of them are shortstops.
Yep.
They
Remember when they had an abundance of outfielders?
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about that? There were too many outfielders.
I mean, how can that be? They took a kid second overall, can't play right field, couldn't play right field in AAA 5 years later. How can that be?
It's a colossal failure at basically every level. And, you know, I hate to oversimplify it. They can't hit, they can't pitch, they can't field.
They can't think the game. They can't think that they can't process the game in real time. Like they especially can't do it at a major league level real time. They have a collective and in many cases individual remarkably low baseball IQ.
Yeah. And you talk.
And
about,
the response to that was let's get younger and dumber and more naive.
And I know we're going to talk about it later, but. Heston Kerstad looks absolutely lost at the plate.
He's going back to Norfolk.
Yeah, and like, yeah, just do it now. Let's see what one of these other guys down there can do because he is just mentally spent.
Horrible
at bats.
They fractured Stowers. Yes. He left here. I was there. I saw him walk out of the hotel in New York. They never gave him a chance. They squashed him every chance they got. They crushed him. And it crushed him for the rest of that year. And then he came back and showed you what kind of ball plays. They've crushed Kobe Mayo. They're in the process. They've pretty much crushed Heston Kerstad, at least in terms of what he can do here. Like, it's shameful. They took a year off Kyle Bradish's career by not getting the surgery right away when they should. Like, it's shameful.
And by the way, Felix Bautista don't look right.
I said that last. What did I tell you? Yeah. Watch the next time. I told you that in real time.
Yeah.
His next outing will be horse bleep. I know what I'm watching. I don't know that Mike Elias knows what he's watching. I know what I'm watching.
Bringing him in the eighth.
Yeah, well, you wanted to pull up a zero, and he immediately gives up a home run.
Point. No, you have a point.
Yeah.
Solo home run equals 1 point.
1 point, yeah.
Two-run home run equals 2 points.
Can I say that's
Earl Weaver, 3 points.
Real quick, that is a pet peeve of mine, and I told you guys this off the air. I think the first argument I ever had with Margie, my soon-to-be wife, is we're watching baseball, and she complained about the Orioles not getting enough points. And I said, wait, no, you got to stop right
there.
She
was right.
It's not points.
She was a gal ahead of her time.
It's not points. It's runs. And now we have the manager. She's
into the future like me.
The manager of the baseball team.
When they fall apart before Memorial Day in 2025, the whole town's going to be calling them points because who cares?
Points. Call them stadium.
Honestly, of all the things I can get upset about right now,
it's a personal pet peeve. It's like calling the stadium Camden. That's a city in New Jersey.
If he looked remotely comfortable in his own skin meeting the media or pretending to manage a baseball team, then I could maybe get upset about points. But the fact that he can't do any of those things, it really obscures me from going after him for not saying points.
He also doubled down on it.
Or for not saying runs.
And then the Brewers just took the lead. Oh, okay. Well, coming up next
here. That guy's going to go. There he goes. What's his name?
Bernie the Brewer.
Bernie Brewer. Yeah. There he goes.
Or it's one of the Orioles broadcasters because they were doing
rather than talk about this product.
Yeah. Oh, coming up next.
Wonder how loud the dugout is right now.
I bet you.
Can they get, maybe she can carry around, what do they call those things that measure the sound? Like, remember at Seahawks games?
Jeez, what the?
Have one of those seismology or whatever.
It's an earthquake
reading.
In the dugout. Yes. Yeah, Jerry Coleman.
Erupting.
He's the star of the Preakness. We'll get his thoughts on many things next here on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.